Good morning and welcome to this gathering of our faith family. I pray that wherever you are, that today you have come looking forward to the opportunity to worship our Lord as we come under the teaching and the preaching of His Word, as we lift up our praises and our worship, and as we unite for the express purpose of bringing Him glory and learning how to live out the love and the grace that the gospel has brought into our lives. And we do this in large part by sharing His truth and love with others. Now, before we begin with prayer, I'd like to ask you a question, and you're going to see I'm going deep into your heart here today. I want to ask you to think about, when was the first and the worst time you ever met with Jesus? Let me say that again. When was the first and the worst time you ever met with Jesus? Now, I realize for some of you, you've not had either of those two encounters yet. There are some within the sound of my voice right now that have not met Jesus yet, and they're still alive. But there are others, friends, hear me. There are others for whom the first and the worst meeting they will ever have with Jesus will come at one in the same time. When they press into their time of judgment, as they walk through the door of eternity, it will be the first and the worst time for countless souls. This is in large part why we, the faith family of God, not just the bridge, but the children of God, the body of Christ, the true biblical church, we are to be the church in large part to make sure that there will be those that we know and love, those that we reach out to and touch, who will not have their first and worst time with Jesus at the same time. No, we want to be the church in large part to live out what it is to be the Great Commission family of God, that we are those who have been captured by grace, who now share the gospel. And if that's you, friend, if you are a part of the faith family, I pray that today will be one of the best times you've ever met with Jesus. And even more, if you're someone who has not yet met Jesus, I pray today will be amongst the greatest meetings you've ever had with Him. You see, our goal is to be the church in such a way that we bring God glory as we live out His grace and we extend the truth and love of His gospel as disciples who make disciples who make disciples. This is our great privilege. I pray that you will come to know this truth personally and powerfully on this day. Amen and amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, I come now and I do pray that each one within the sound of my voice will come to recognize who you are and why it is that you reveal yourself to us. I pray that your reasons, your purposes, and your priorities will become that which drives us as your disciples. May we be your faith family, no matter what. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Well, friends, here again, I want to come and I want to just share with you from God's word for the purpose of elevating your worship and helping all of us to walk in a more worship-filled working witness, a way that will lead others to Christ because we know Him, we've seen Him, we love Him. And when we say, come and see Christ, that there will be a truth and a power in our words, not because we've learned what to say, but because we ourselves have seen the risen King, because we know what it is to be children of the living God, because we know that the timeless truth from God's word and the tested and beautiful bullseye of His will and the beyond pragmatics powerful expressions of his ways are exactly what we need and what the world needs as well. I pray that today you will see the living God in a way that changes you forever. Amen. Now, let me remind you where we've been and where we're going. We're in a sermon series that's entitled Show and Tell, the Word of God. We're walking through the Bible in a little bit of a chronological storyboarding kind of way. And we're using this Bible cloth that brings 42 different biblical accounts to light. And it's a way of walking people through the scriptures. And today we find ourselves in the 9th account. We're going to be here where we look at what most people familiar with the scriptures would say, oh, this is Jacob's ladder. This is where we learn about Jacob's ladder. We'll focus on Genesis chapter 28, verse 12, and we'll take a close look at that. But I tell you, as we get ready to begin, that I'm going to bring you into Genesis 28, but I'm going to use John chapter 1 to do it. We're going to do this because if you want to understand Genesis 28 in the account of Jacob and the ladder, Jesus said, let me show you its meaning in John chapter 1. And so I'm going to follow our Lord's lead, and I'm going to do the same thing. My prayer today is to show you what God wants each of us to see so that each of us can be the very church that Christ died to give life to. Now, I realize some of this isn't going to make sense until we press into it, but I ask you to walk with me through Genesis 28, verse 12, and John chapter 1, verse 35 through 51. This will all come together before we're done. And again, you'll see the timeless truth, the big idea, and that is Jesus Christ reveals himself to his faith family for a reason. Jesus Christ reveals himself to his faith family for a reason. He always has, and he always will. This is a consistency that goes from the beginning throughout all of the scriptures, and it will be highlighted in the exemplifying of Christ's return one day. I pray that you'll see this. Let's take a look at Genesis chapter 28, verse 12. And here, get ready. We're going to see God's person. We're going to see God's plan. We're going to see God's purposes, God's people, God's power, and God's proof as we unpack Genesis 28, verse 12, through John chapter 1, verse 35 through 51. We're going to see this in a way that I pray will change your eternity. God's word says, and I quote the scriptures, he, Jacob, had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set on earth with its top reaching into heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on the ladder. This is what we see. This is the beginning. Jacob, this scoundrel who is the child that will carry the promises of God all the way to the coming of Christ, is now having a dream. He's in a bit of a desperate time, but next week we'll unpack more of the context. Today, I just want you to look at the ladder. I want you to see what Jacob is seeing. I want you to be what God is calling you and me to be, church. And so, at the beginning, let me just take you in with this word to the wise. Vision is the key to victory. That's true in the Bible, and it's true in everyday life. Vision is the key to victory. If you don't see Christ clearly, you won't know who he is. You won't respond to him properly. So, by the grace and mercy and through the love of our God, Christ reveals himself to his faith family. Our purpose today is to acknowledge this truth, and I pray, come away with a better understanding of why. You see, I don't want your first and worst day to be the same when you meet with Jesus. And I want you and me to be difference makers locally, regionally, and globally when it comes to others. So let me walk you through this somewhat unorthodox way to, I pray, lead you to a purer form of worship, that your witness and your walk will be strengthened. I ask you to listen to what the Word of God has to say to you and me and everyone else that will listen to our Lord as we get ready to climb the ladder of His blessing. Watch this, and then we'll come right back.
It is important that you know who you are, and it is eternally important that you know who you are dealing with. And friends, one of the reasons why we teach and preach the Bible and we grow disciples through God's word by His grace and for His glory is because you need to understand the fine lines of distinction. They are eternal fine lines. Friends, I want you to see the work of God and the worship of we God's people in the harmony that becomes holy, salvation and sanctification. My prayer is that you'll see in verses 35 through 51, three things really unfold here. God has a plan. He's going to tell us the plan. The plan is going to be tested, and then we're going to see that His plan triumphs. Watch as our King comes for His people. My prayer is that you will see the love of God as He gets personal and passionate about reaching and saving His people.
The next day, John was standing there again with two of his disciples when he saw Jesus walking by.
There's the Lamb of God.
The two disciples heard him say this and went with Jesus. Jesus turned, saw them following him.
What are you looking for?
Where do you live?
Rabbi.
This word means teacher.
Come and see.
It was then about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so they went with him and saw where he lived and spent the rest of that day with him. One of them was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. At once he found his brother Simon.
We have found the Messiah.
This word means Christ. Then he took Simon to Jesus. Jesus looked at him.
Your name is Simon, son of John. But you will be called Cephas.
This is the same as Peter and means a rock. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him,
"Come with me."
Philip was from Bethsaida, the town where Andrew and Peter lived. Philip found Nathanael.
We have found the one whom Moses wrote about in the book of the law, and whom the prophets also wrote about. He is Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth.
Can anything good come from Nazareth?
Come.
When Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, he said about him, "Here is a real Israelite.
There is nothing false in him."
How do you know me?
I saw you when you were under the fig tree before Philip called.
Teacher, you are the King of Israel.
Amen and amen. It's a powerful thing to see the Word of God. I pray that here, as you are now seeing from the very beginning the purposes of our Lord, that you see the person of God. His name is Jesus. You see the plan of God being laid out. It's just beginning. But this lesson is going to show you what God wants us to see. And I pray it will help you and me to show others what our Lord wants them to see. in this passage, just out of the gate, we've already seen that there is a theological plan that is unfolding. There is a Christological truth that's being shared. Jesus is Lord. Jesus Christ is God. And you're already beginning to see, and we'll unpack it today, that there is an evangelical way that our Lord has left for us to follow. We want to do things that are in line with God's word, God's will, and God's ways. I pray that you've literally just seen in part the way that Jesus would evangelize, the way he would show himself to others and lead us to do the same. Amen. Watch this, and then we'll pick back up in just a minute.
Telling of God's plan, you will see the 7-point plan of God. Through Jesus the Christ, he will make disciples by finding the lost and growing the found. All by the grace of God and all for the glory through Jesus the Christ, our King. Let's start off together, recognizing that this is all by his grace. And that in the finding of the lost, we see the story of salvation. And in the growing of the found, we see the plan of sanctification. This is Christianity. This is what it is to be a disciple who makes disciples who makes disciples. To have been lost, but found. And then amongst the found, to be grown. I tell you first, Christianity is a perpetual continuation of being in Christ and in koinonia, in supernatural unity. Listen to verse 35. Again, the next day. Here's the perpetual. Again, next day. Perpetual, ongoing. John was standing with two of his disciples. One disciple with two more disciples. Here's koinonia. Again, the next day. God's people together as God's people pressing in to know God and his truth. Verse 36 brings the second point. Reality of Jesus requires a response to Jesus. The reality of Jesus requires a response to Jesus. Listen to verse 36. And he looked at Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Friends, here again, where the reality of Christ is known, a response to Christ is required. Third point, most important, our Messiah measures what moves and motivates the heart. Jesus measures what moves and motivates the heart. Listen to verse 38. And Jesus turned and saw them following. Okay, so they're doing, they're coming after. But Jesus turns and he said to them, "What do you want?" Okay, I see what you're doing, but what do you want? What is the motivation of your heart? What do you ultimately seek? You notice that when Jesus asks, "What do you want?" he's asking a what question and he's looking for a who answer. Do you see this? He's pressing down into the depths of the heart. What are you really looking for? What do you really want? And any other answer but you, Jesus, is damnable. Damnable. Friends, don't miss the matter of the heart. Yours and my motive means more than you might ever realize. The Life Application Study Bible says, and I quote, "When the two disciples began to follow Jesus, he asked them, 'What do you want?' Following Christ is not enough. We must follow him for the right reasons." Friends, this is the point of that verse. Check your heart. I ask you, what do you want? My prayer is, your answer is, "I want Jesus." The fourth point in this plan, God's gospel blood-bought invitation is always both personal and experiential. Listen to verse 39. And he said to them, "Come and you will see." Come and see. So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about 4 o'clock. Friends, it's personal. You can't have a healthy relationship with the Lord because somebody else that you care about does. Listen again, quote here from the NIV commentary. We are called to be like John the Baptist, Andrew, Peter, Nathaniel, and Philip. People who have a personal experience of Christ, who do come and see, who do not simply have a scholastic understanding of the Christian faith, but who remain where he is and are transformed by being with him. It's the being. The fifth point in God's plan, God's grace knows no bounds. Amen. God's grace knows no bounds. The gospel invitation is for anyone and everyone. Listen in verse 40. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Listen, Andrew isn't everybody. Friends, if you think that the gospel and the plan of God is just for those polished and polite, churchy people, wrong answer, and shame on anybody that led you to think so. There is nobody that you should ever sift your seed from. Let us be double-fisted seed sowers who grow comfortable behind the plow. I pray that you and I never get to a place where we lose sight of the fact that we didn't deserve that seed of truth in our lives. Let us never sift that from anybody else. The gospel invitation, this is his plan. It's for everybody. This is why we go worldwide. Acts 1:8. You go locally, regionally, and to the ends of the earth as my witnesses. You make disciples of all nations. Praise God, you and I have been given the privilege to be his voice to all peoples. I pray you never get pigeonholed or comfortable in the cocoon called church. Let's go fishing. Let's be the fishers of men that are those who truly follow our King. That sixth point of God's universal plan, simply this, following means following. When he says, follow me, he meant it. And following will lead to finding or fishing. Jesus said, you know this, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Here in John's Gospel, verse 41, he says, he found first his own brother Simon. This is Andrew now showing that he's a follower. Because the follower now goes and finds. The follower goes fishing. Friends, are you fishing? Are you fishing? Verse 41, he, Andrew, found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which translates Christ. Friends, who are you telling that you have found the Messiah? Are you telling people, I have found the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world? Don't cheapen him down to an address and a building on Sunday mornings. Seventh and the last point in this universal plan, in the telling of God's plan before we see it tested, simply this, Christians help people meet Christ. Christians help people meet Christ. Christ, and then Christ makes Christian people. Do you see this, friends? It couldn't be any more simple or direct. Christians help people meet Christ, and then Christ makes Christian people. Listen to verse 42. He, meaning Andrew, brought him, meaning Peter, to Jesus. Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. We could go home right here. Who are you bringing to Jesus? I want you to ask yourself and pray through, who was the last person you brought to Jesus? Oh, that we would be Andrew. Because that's what Christians do, you know. When we're following, we're fishing. And when we're fishing, we're following. And when we find the lost, we grow them as found, all by bringing to and growing through Christ. It's Jesus who gives us our purpose, our potential, and our power. And he said, I did this so that you would follow me and you would fish for men. That your love for me will be demonstrated by your love for one another and your obedience to my call and command on your life. Go fish. Go fish, found follower. Go fish. Go find the lost and then grow the found. Do you see when this happens, that perpetual koinonia happens? we're now back to the point where the Christians are being the Christians by bringing the truth and the love out. And God converts and makes more, which puts koinonia back in place. This is God's plan. It is a perpetual cycle of continuous Christ-likeness. It's Christianity. It's the process whereby disciples are found and then are made into disciples who make disciples who make disciples. This is the simple but powerful plan of God.
Amen. Again, I pray here that now you see why it is so important that we properly, biblically, see the Lord for who he is. That in so doing, we can now understand the 7-point plan, the purposes of God, that we can walk in step with him when we see him clearly, we discern him rightly, we courageously follow him. I pray, friend, that you see here what the Lord wants you and me to see. Oh, there's so much more than an Old Testament history lesson to be had as we come to understand what the Lord has done and continues to do in revealing himself to his faith family. Whether we're scoundrels like Esau, who are going to be drawn into a time of transformation, or we're scoundrels like Jacob, who are in the midst of stumbles and struggles, or if we are that person that is hearing the Lord right now say, well done. All of us, we need to see him clearly and respond to him biblically. And this is why he reveals himself to his faith family. The reason I pray you are beginning to see unfold, this is going to help you and me to be the faith family of God. Let's continue. Again, watch this as we walk through the Gospel of John to better understand the 28th chapter of Genesis.
As we move to verse 43, watch and you see the whole thing in this little microcosm of a verse. God's word says, the next day, note we're moving chronologically here through this first week. The next day he purposed to go into Galilee and he, Jesus, found Philip. And Jesus said to him, follow me. Friends, see here again, find the lost, grow the found. Find the lost, grow the found. Let's just unpack that one verse. The next day, here again, perpetual koinonia, perpetual continuation, the next day. He purposed, here's God's gracious providential plan, to go. Jesus models the missionary ministry. The next day he purposed to go, then he found. It's all of grace. You and I don't find Jesus. Jesus comes and finds us. He found Philip. It's personal. He doesn't come and just say, well, give me 30 or 40 of them from that neighborhood. He comes for you, friend. He died for you, friend. It's personal. It's experiential. The next day he purposed to go and he found Philip. And Jesus said to him, note, it's a compassionate command. He said, follow me. You come all in with all of who you are, all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You follow. Followers follow. What would you call a follower who didn't really follow? Call him a liar. What do you call somebody that says they love the Lord but don't actually live it out? Let me help you. 1 John calls him a liar. Followers follow. And that's what Jesus said. Follow me. And he says, follow me. It's personal to him. Christ alone. When we are following, we're going to be finding and fishing. And when we're finding and fishing, we're following. These are two sides of the same coin. You can't take them apart. In fact, if you look at Ezekiel 16:49, I just want to point out to you, you'll see in that verse that Sodom and Gomorrah, when you wonder what happened there, why did God rain down his wrath? A lot of people will tend to point out, well, it's because you know what kind of heinous sin was there? Well, there was heinous sin in Sodom and Gomorrah. But Ezekiel 16:49 will tell you that the wrath of God came down because the people became indifferent and comfortable and complacent. Read Ezekiel 16:49. They lived in ease and neglect of their responsibility to be the people of God. Let me tell you, friends, we live in a time and a culture where Ezekiel 16:49 could speak, and I pray, wake up the modern Western lukewarm church. I ask you, what happens then, I guess, if I don't go fishing? And I point you to the parable of the talents. Each one of us will give an account and will be held accountable for what has been given to us. And so many tend to think, well, I'm not rich. Friends, if you have the truth, you have the most priceless possession in the world. And what do you do with what you have? You and I will be held accountable. Ezekiel speaks about blood on hands for those who are watchmen on the wall but do not tell what they know. Friends, I ask you, I plead with you, if you consider yourself a follower of Jesus Christ, go fishing. Go fishing. Live with your nets in hand. If you don't, I fear what that means. I tell you that straight up. Followers who don't follow, fishers who don't fish, lovers who don't love. It's all a house of cards built on lies and deception.
I pray that you're beginning to see that the way of God, the plan, the purposes, as Jesus told us in Matthew 7, it's a narrow way. There is a single path. It's narrow. Few will find it. You'll begin to understand why this is so important when you take into consideration that according to Jesus and what we see in all of Scripture, true followers follow. True lovers love. And those that will be the genuine fishers of men will fish. That Jesus was clear from the very beginning of his word and all the way throughout all the Scriptures. He means what he says, and he says what he means. This is a narrow truth. We need to understand, I pray, see with eternal eyes that which our Lord wants all of us to see. Now again, stay with me because we're going to bring this in and we're going to connect it to Jacob's ladder. I pray your ladder, my ladder. I pray that we will all see how desperately we need the ladder of heaven.
In verse 45 and following, we see Nathanael come, and I just want to show you a couple of things. First, know this, that where and when you're sent, it's not always going to be easy. You may be challenged. And at the same time, things aren't always as they appear. What may look difficult and troubling can become beautiful and empowering. And I can tell you, as one who's been bitten by wolves, not every sheep is a sheep. So again, know who you are. Know who you're dealing with. In Nathanael's case, verse 45 says that Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him." Amen. Are you telling anybody? We have found him. I have found him. The one of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Verse 46, Nathanael said to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Look at how faithfully obedient Philip is. He was found, called to follow. He's immediately fishing. Found fisher. He shares with passion. We have found him. We have found the Messiah. Are you passionate? Philip declared Jesus was the Messiah, is the Messiah. And something else that's really kind of subtle, but don't miss this. Philip didn't edit the truth to make it look better. Philip doesn't change things to try to make it look good. He doesn't try to repackage the truth. Friends, just tell the truth. Jesus doesn't need a PR man. The Lord does not need a marketing company. Just tell the truth. This is the word of God. Thus says the Lord. Amen. One of the things we see with Philip and Nathanael, more than just Nathanael's response, note what Philip does. He simply says to him, "Come and see." This is the perfect evangelical response. And don't bite anybody. Oh, you better. Don't bite. Invite. Come and see. Come and see. You know, debate generates hate. Nobody's ever won to Jesus through a debate. Share the truth in love and invite somebody. Come and see. Come and see the Christ who has set me free. Come and see the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Come and see the truth that will truly set you free. Verse 48, Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Friends, Jesus answers the ordinary with the extraordinary. Jesus answers the natural with the supernatural. Jesus is demonstrating his deity here. And I say to you that if you get to know him, you'll know that he's more than a religious figurehead. He's not a good teacher. He's not a prophet. He is the king. And if you truly get to know him, you will know him in his divine glory. If you don't, then you don't know him, because that's who he is. The Life Application Bible here again quotes, "Jesus knew about Nathanael before the two ever met. Jesus also knows what we are really like. An honest person will feel comfortable with the thought that Jesus knows him or her through and through. A dishonest person, by contrast, will feel very uncomfortable. You can't pretend to be something you're not with the Holy Spirit. God knows the real you, and he wants you to follow him." In verse 49, we see that where this true faith resides, it will faithfully follow. Verse 49, Nathanael said, "Rabbi, teacher, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Kings." Here's the biblical response. Here's where the plan now tested comes to fruition. The teacher, rabbi, here's where you see the respect for Christ. Here's where the person says, "Teach me, Lord." "You are the Son of God." Here you see the redeemed. "Save me, Jesus." "You are the King of Israel." You not only see the respect and the redemption, you see here the relinquishing now of personal authority. "You are my King. Lead me, Jesus, my Lord. Teach me, save me, Lord me." This is Nathanael's response.
Again, do you see the simplicity of what God wants you and me to see? The path, the way, a ladder, a staircase. They're not complicated. They're very simple and direct in terms of what is expected and what is needed. For you and me, friends, we need to see what's on display here. It's the power of God. Jesus is proving himself to be Lord. We see it over and over and over again. If you know this truth, if you have seen the risen Lord, if you have had a meeting with Jesus that was graciously and miraculously transformative, if you are 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21, if you are a new creation, you know that the old is gone, the new has come. You're now living as a minister of reconciliation, an ambassador for Christ. You have the very righteousness of Christ in you. Then friends, just tell the truth. It's that simple. Be straightforward. Be a loving, compassionate truth teller. I pray that you and I will be those that truly fish for men and will never fish with bait. May we go out with the nets of the gospel, the truth and love of the gospel. Don't you dare lower the standard of God or let people think that he needs bait. Just tell the truth. If you've seen him, if you know him, if you are in fact a child of the living God, tell the truth and love of your Lord. And let him do what else is needed.
Jesus promises triumph. Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these," my friends. Jesus rewards repentance and redeeming responses.
"Teacher, you are the King of Israel.
Do you believe just because I told you I saw you? You will see much greater things than this. I am telling you the truth. You will see heaven open and God's angels going up and coming down on the Son of Man."
Don't miss this. A mustard seed faith will see mountain moving feats. Mustard seed faith will see mountain moving feats of God. This is what he says. In essence, you ain't seen nothing yet, Nathaniel. You ain't seen nothing yet. Jesus is saying to Nathaniel, oh, how blessed you are to have eternal eyes. Oh, when you come to understand who I am, you will have the blessing of eternal eyes. Friends, do you have eternal eyes? Do you see out to the end of this week? Do you think that you're forward thinking because you see out to retirement? Or do you see out to the entry of eternity and into the endless time that we will have either in the presence of Almighty God in the bosom of an incredible loving relationship with Jesus forever, or the cost of the other, which is eternal damnation in a very real. Do you see with eternal eyes? This is what Jesus says to Nathanael. You ain't seen nothing yet. He tells him in verse 51, truly, truly, I say to you, some of your translations will say, I tell you the truth. You will see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Friends, I want you to see something that's not obvious here, and this is in the grammar. The verb tense changes. This is not Jesus only speaking to Nathanael. He goes to a plural verb, which means now he's speaking to Nathanael and the disciples that are there and to you and me. This is now for all the believers. Here's the promise of triumph through God's plan. You will see heavens opened and angels of God ascending and descending on the Man of God. Friends, you have to go back to Genesis chapter 28 to really understand what's happening here. The context from Genesis 28 is where Jacob is given a vision. He's given a time of encouragement, holy divine encouragement from God. As Jacob is thinking things are really, really rough, God gives him a vision. And this is what Jesus is doing. He's literally quoting to Nathanael the gift of vision that was given to Jacob back in Genesis 28. And that's the picture, is in the time of trouble and storm. Don't you worry. The heavens will open and you will see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Jesus is the Son of Man. If you follow the plan of God, if you are a child of God, if Jesus is your King by grace through faith, the promise here of triumph is that you and the other children of God will be carried up through Christ by the angels of God. And while you're here, again, through Christ, the angels of God will be descended down to fight by your side. I want you to just think about that. Have you ever felt like you were going it alone? You are not child of God. You are not. Listen to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent out to serve those who will inherit salvation? Friends, this is the promise. You and I don't go it alone. We will triumph and we will see. I think of 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 14 through 17. You see Elisha there with his servant. And his servant's getting all nervous because it looks like the battle is about to end and they are not going to win. And Elisha prays and says, Lord, open the eyes of this servant that he could see with eternal eyes the promise for those that are in you. It's the most beautiful thing. As a servant then is given eternal eyes and realizes the army of God is encamped around. And you, friends, as a believer, you are never outmanned, outgunned, or in any way, shape, or form a victim to the enemy. You may not see things unfold the way you hope, but I promise you, you are an overcomer. You are an overwhelming overcomer in Christ. You are a hupa nekao in Jesus. This is his promise as we get to the end. Friends, my prayer is that you see theologically that God wants you to know him. His name is Jesus. He is the creator crucified Christ. I pray that you see Christologically who he is. And I just want you to hear this. In this chapter alone, you may not have realized it, but see how rich the Christology is. Listen to the names of God that are listed right here of Jesus in chapter 1. He's the Word. He's the Creator. He's the Sustainer. He's the Messiah. He's the Prophet. He's the Lamb of God. He's the one who baptizes with the Spirit. He's the Chosen of God. He is the Rabbi, Teacher. He is the Christ, the Anointed One. He is the Son of God. He's the King of Israel. He's the Son of Man. Friends, he wants you to know him. He wants you to know his name is Jesus. And he wants you to know he has a plan. That plan will come through the gospel of Jesus Christ as he makes disciples for his glory and by his grace, by finding the lost and growing the found. That process is disciples making disciples who make disciples. Following Jesus, fishing for men. This is what it is to be his. Oh, that we will celebrate this together in perpetual koinonia, loving our King and the children of the kingdom together. Amen.
Amen and amen. I pray that now you see how everything comes together. It is Jesus telling Nathanael that you're going to see the triumphing of this truth, that you will see the victory that is laid out in this vision, that those who truly know the living God as Lord and Savior, and again, you cannot know him as Savior if you do not have him as Lord. And when he is your Lord, he will also be your Savior. When you truly love him, you don't just call yourself a lover, but you love. When you truly follow him, you don't just call yourself a follower, you actually follow. When you truly are that fisher of men who fishes, you don't just talk about fish. You don't just go to the spiritual lake. You don't hang out and throw picnics. You actually go, Matthew 4:19, you follow Jesus and he makes you a fisher of men, evidenced by the fruit of your fishing. Now, you don't have to be one who has evidence of catching. That's Christ's job. But you and I, if we are truly followers of Christ, if we have seen him, if the ladder has come into our lives, then we will be this true faith family of God. That's what we're seeing here. This is the purpose. It's to help us to know and help us to go and show and tell this truth to the world. I pray that you are seeing with eternal eyes. If nothing else, I pray that after today, you understand what it is to see with eternal eyes. That like Jesus, like Andrew, like Philip, that you and I would go as others who would say, come and see. Come and see the truth and love of Jesus the Christ. Come and see God's gospel, God's good news. His name is Jesus. I pray that you and I, in the faith family that we know of as the Bridge, locally, regionally, and globally, will come to have a new appreciation for our come and see Christianity. It's in our manifesto. We say, come and see to everybody. We go and tell others to come and see. And we make one promise. Truth and love all the time, no matter what. We've got our website, comeandseechristianity.com, that's designed to carry this message of our Messiah out onto the mission field. We've now put it in a book format. All of this to say, as Jesus, as Andrew, as Philip said, come and see. I pray that you see, this is what was happening with Jacob in Genesis 28. The Lord came to him so that he could see. That's the first time that God revealed himself to Jacob. Now you might understand what seems to be a bit of a strange sermon title for today. The sermon title for today is Jacob, John, Andrew, Peter, Philip, Nathanael, Jesus, and me. And by me, I mean you. Friend, I pray that you will come and see that God wants you and me to know him. He reveals himself to his faith family for the reason of those of us that know him will go and show and tell who he is and what he has done. Friends, all of us, we come to see that a life in the Lord is a life on the ladder. A life in the Lord is a life on the ladder. We will be the ambassadors for Christ. We will be his salt, his light. We will be his army and his aroma. We will be the people of God who have seen him, so we live sent and serving to show him to the world. I pray that you and I will realize that what Jacob saw, we can and will see. In fact, if you're in the Bridge family, you know this. Not only can we see what Jacob saw, we are seeing what Jacob saw. We're seeing the miraculous work of Almighty God. We're seeing the living Lord live out amongst us. We've seen and are continuing to see locally, regionally, and globally his gracious help, hope, and healing. We are continuing to see locally, regionally, and globally how he transforms heads, hearts, and hands. We're watching him inform, inspect, and inspire locally, regionally, and globally. We're getting to see the very miracles of the Messiah on the mission field, locally, regionally, and globally. This is what Jesus was doing. He was showing and telling that others would see and be the very faith family of God. We have continued to be so blessed seeing the plan of God, the promises of God, the purposes of God, the people of God, the power of God, and the proof of God. We've been given eyes to see that we would be these little ladders. Oh, friends, I say to you here, we're living out God's amazing grace. We have his blessing upon us. We are seeing our life-giving and loving ladder, capital L, who gives his little L ladders, us, the church, the family of God. He has given us his life and his love that we would take his life and his love out to the world. That we would be the little L ladders that love like the capital L ladder, that we would love up, we would love in, and that we would love out, that others would come to see and be the very faith family of God, that others would have their best meeting with Christ because we have been able to champion him. I want you to take this away before we pray and close for today. We're going to close with some worship songs that I pray are going to bless you as we go back to seeing and appreciating what it is that the Lord wants us to see. That he says to you and me, like he did to Nathaniel, you ain't seen nothing yet. We are seeing, we are being the very promises of God, and knowing that he's coming back, we haven't even begun to touch the surface of the potential of what he has promised. Oh, friend, I pray that excites you. We ain't seen nothing yet. Oh, Lord, I pray that each one within the sound of my voice today will come to realize that Genesis 28 is so powerfully connected to John 1, that you, Lord, are from cover to cover. You are the one story of the entire scriptures, and that everywhere we go, it's about you. And what you have shown us is for us to go out and tell others, that what you have poured into us is to be poured out of us, that we get to be your ambassadors. Oh, may each one who has seen you show you. May each one to whom you have been sent, may they go out and be sent to others. May each one who has been served by your church now serve as your church. I thank you, Lord, that you've given us eyes to see and that you've filled us with your spirit, that we get to be your faith family. Help each one today, I pray, walk away with eyes now that are eternally opened by your grace, through your gospel, and for your glory. Amen and amen.
I know this road is getting hard. I heard you say it's overwhelming. I said I'd never be too far, and I meant that from the heart. I see the mountain getting high. I see it stacking up against you. I always said you were a fighter, but you've got your doubts tonight. Well, I'm here to remind you, it don't matter where you we keep on keeping on. It might feel like an uphill climb, always some kind of battle, but you got more than you on your side. And we gon' see the light. We gon' see the light. We gon' see the light. You and me, yeah, you and me. We gon' see the light. Some things will never be the same. Some things are only for a season, and just the thought of letting go, well, it's brought you to your knees. Oh, but if you can make it, you can make it through the night. I can promise that the sun is gonna rise. You'll wake up just a little bit stronger, so hold on just a little bit longer. 'Cause it don't matter where you come from, it's been so long, but we keep on keeping on.
Right. Come on now.